Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring Pastor's anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through Pastor's teaching and preaching, and that you will be built up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, please visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. Last week we talked about, will you leave me? Will you be ready to stand for Jesus when the persecution comes? This last week, the Canadian House passed a bill that effectively says the Bible is hate literature. It effectively gives judges and lawyers the ability to prosecute you and I if we tell someone that a sin is wrong based on the Word of God. Are you ready? Is the title of today's message. Are you ready for the time when Jesus comes back? In Matthew 24, verse 36 and on, Jesus says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah were, also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of a house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, be you also ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Jesus made it very plain and clear that no one can predict the time or date of his return. Yes, we do know from the signs that we are in the end days. We are in the end times. The world is groaning, becoming darker and darker with each step we take. All we have to do is look around, just like last week when the Canadian Parliament passed the bill that allows them to use their laws now to persecute a Christian if he quotes the Bible against homosexuality or another sin. They have basically labeled that as a hate crime. So in Canada, if you and I tell someone that what they're doing is wrong, whether it is homosexuality or whether it is adultery or even murder for that matter of fact, if we tell them based on the Bible that they are doing that wrong, it is technically a hate crime. They equate it with the word genocide. Now, most of you out there may not be old enough to remember the genocide that was done to the Jews by the Nazis. But you are old enough to remember the genocide that happened 10 years ago in Rwanda. That word genocide means murder, killing, destruction. So now the Parliament has equated the fact that our moral stands tell us that a sin is wrong, and the Bible tells us that as a Christian, we must tell them that that sin is wrong, to genocide, to murder. It is only a matter of time, my friends, until what Jesus predicted will come true, that they will deliver us up for hangings and persecutions. That's why he said, "When you are taken before the courts for judgment, do not worry what you will say, for the Spirit of God will give you what you need to know." Are you ready? Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in His glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works." So not only will Jesus come as a thief in the night, But when he does come as a thief in the night, judgment day will follow shortly after. Mary, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, was in our local grocery store, and I was with her. And she had what I would term a vision. She was standing in line as we were checking out from our grocery shopping, and she, best I could describe it, phased. She was momentarily standing on the outside looking in and looking at all the people just going about their busy little lives, whether it was shopping or talking to each other or the checker checking out. And she didn't understand what she was seeing or what was happening. And then the word of the Lord came to her and said, "But as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving of marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man." She realized at that moment that the Lord was showing her that at that time that He returns, the world will not be ready. The world will not understand. They will be going on with their day-to-day lives, whether it's living, worrying, dying, whatever. They will be going on with their day-to-day lives without a single indication or inkling that anything's going to happen. Think about it, my friends. Noah was building an ark in his driveway, so to speak. Don't you think that if we were building an ark in our driveway, someone would notice? Today, with the way the world is, if I started to build an ark in our driveway, you would have CNN and ABC and everyone else interviewing me. "Pastor Jay, why are you building an ark?" "God told me to. It's going to rain." Now, you have to understand, in the day of Noah, it had never rained before. It tells us that the water came up from the ground in dew and watered everything. So they'd never had any rain. So in the day of Noah, when Noah was telling them, "It's going to rain," they're like, "Well, what is rain?" Noah's like, "I don't know. God just told me, build this ark, it's going to rain." So Noah was doing what man thought was crazy. And they didn't understand. So here we are, as it says, Jesus says, they were drinking, giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They weren't ready. Even though Noah was preaching, "Get ready, get ready, get ready, the end is near," they were not listening. Don't you feel that way sometimes, my friend? When your friends at work laugh at you because you're not going to go party with them on Saturday night because you want to be in church on Sunday morning? Don't you feel out of sorts sometimes when the women want your wife to go out on a night out and she says, "No, I'm going to Bible study"? But that's the way it's going to be. The time is near and the world is growing darker and darker and darker. They are not ready, but are you ready? "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works." Malachi 3:5, the Old Testament prophet says, "At that time I will put you on trial. I will be a ready witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat their employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive foreigners of a living among you justice. For those people do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty." Now, did you understand that? We sometimes get hung up on Christians, as Christians, on, well, it's the major sins. All right. Homosexuality, you're going to go to hell. Adulterer, you're going to go to hell. Murderer, you're going to go to hell. But just because I told a little lie now and then, I'm okay. Or just because I made my workers work 10 hours and only gave them 8 hours or refused to give them overtime, I'm okay. And hey, those widows and orphans can take care of themselves. What did Malachi say through God? At that time I will put you on trial. I will be a ready witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. See, that's one thing that you and I need to have to be ready. What do you fear in your life right now? Do you fear your boss? Do you fear the IRS? Do you fear the world? To be ready for the time that Jesus returns, we must do one thing and one thing only, my friend, and that is fear the Lord God. Jesus told us very plain and clear. He said, do not fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. Proverbs, time after time after time, Solomon tells us the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is life. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. The only one that we need to fear to be ready is the Lord. If you don't fear God, number one in your life, my friends, you need to get down on your face and you need to repent. If you wear the name of Christian, if you call Christ Jesus your Savior, then the number one fear in your life should be letting God down. And no, I'm not telling you should run around in a total panic fear that you might accidentally sin. That's not where we're coming from here. Where we're coming from is the Lord God Almighty loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that you might have eternal life. Therefore, we need to fear that we don't go against Him. We need to fear that He is the one that can kill the body and cast our souls into hell. Malachi, the Old Testament prophet, made it very plain and clear that he will be a ready witness against sinners. A sorcerer, an adulterer, a liar, those that cheat their employees, you oppress widows and orphans, deprive foreigners of justice. Those people were sinners because it says they didn't fear me. They didn't fear the Lord. And there's two different groups in this verse. Did you notice? There are the actual sinners. He's talking about sorcerers, adulterers, liars, actual sinners. Then there's the ones that are oppressed. Employees, widows, orphans, foreigners of justice. God wants you and I to fear Him more than anything else. He wants you and I to be ready. As Jesus said, therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. In Matthew 13:49, Jesus said, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the fiery furnace where they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Get that? So, it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the just and cast them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. My friend, I don't really care whether you believe in hell. God does, and you're going if you don't accept Jesus. It says it right there. At the end of the age, the angels are going to separate the wicked from the righteous, the wicked from the just, and the wicked are going to be cast into the fiery furnace where they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There will be a judgment day. Are you ready? Where do you stand? Are you on the fence, or are you on the right side? Where do you stand? No one can answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you fear God more than anything? I mean, is your bank book getting empty? And you're fearing the bill collectors? And therefore you don't give your offering to the Lord? Or is your bank book getting empty? And you fear God and you know that your offering to the Lord is the most important thing. Who comes first in your life? Your job, your wife, your kids, your toys? Who comes first in your life? The fear of the Lord is life. That is where it's at, my friend. If you ever come to our home state of Wyoming, one of the things you'll notice in Wyoming is that in most cases, not all, but in most cases, the garages are bigger than the house. I have a friend of mine who is building a new house. He has a 5-door barn next to his house, and the barn and garage is bigger than his house. And the really sad part is he built this to store all his toys, but he didn't plan enough ahead, so it's not, the doors on it are not tall enough to get his trailer inside. But this is the norm here. Most people here have more toys than they have space to live in. You will see people come on weekends in the wintertime hauling behind their truck 4 snowmobiles in a $10,000 or $20,000 trailer. What's more important to those people? God and the fear of the Lord or their playtime? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying life. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having good things. God wants us to be blessed, but God also wants us to fear Him and give what is rightfully His. Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God's. Malachi 3:5 says, for these people do not fear me. What is rightfully God's is your righteous, reverent fear. That is rightfully God's. That is not man's. That is not Caesar's. For at the end of the age, the angels are going to come forth and they're going to separate the just from the wicked, and the wicked are going to be cast into the fiery furnace where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. By now, if you listen to this program, you know one of my favorite verses is where all of the men come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And Jesus says, paraphrasing, I didn't know you because you didn't do the will of the Father. Go away, you workers of iniquity. See, they didn't have a fear of the Lord because it was, didn't we do this? We. That's the problem with us human beings, is we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget, and many of them just don't care, that we didn't happen by accident. We were created by an omnipresent, omnipotent God, who therefore loved us so much that He sent His Son to redeem us by dying on the cross. There's a book that I would suggest you read that is a great little book. It's actually not a small book. It's called Darwin's Black Box. And it was written by a scientist who decided to prove whether we were created or whether we evolved. And this scientist works in microbiology, or as he calls them, the micro machines that make our bodies work. The machines and things that you can only see through super, super powerful microscopes. To make a long story short, he came to the conclusion that we were created. That there was absolutely, positively no way that we could have evolved because of the complexity of these machines that reside within us. But the saddest part about the book is that at the end, he makes the statement, we were created. And he says we were either created by a god or aliens, etc., but we didn't evolve. All of that did not bring him to the Lord. See, no matter how much you and I research, no matter how much we dig into this world, it's not going to bring us to the Lord unless we're willing to go. Jesus said that we are called by the Lord. This man came to the conclusion that there was no way in the world, no way in eternity, that we were evolving. Yet, he couldn't see the intricacy, the beauty of God in all of it. In Matthew 5:24-11, Jesus gives us a warning. And this is a warning to you about being ready. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 2, Paul gives the same word to Timothy. Preach the word, be ready in and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears. They have heaped up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. My friends, I see that more and more today. Mary and I are very blessed in that we do go to many different churches and we get to visit and work in different churches. And we have seen this apostasy, the false prophets that don't preach the truth. One of the largest churches in the country today is very proud that they don't display the cross. They have a world globe because they're a world church outreach. They're very proud that they don't preach the blood or the cross or the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus or sin, because that would just bring people down, and their jobs is to elevate people and make them feel good. Be careful, my friends. Be ready. No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, when Jesus will return. Before I finish this program, the Lord could return. Or he may not return until after my death. But I can tell you, my friends, we are closer than we've ever been. More biblical prophecies are being fulfilled on a daily basis than have ever been fulfilled before. We are closer than we've ever been. The world is growing darker and darker and darker. 10 years ago, if you asked me if there would have been a nation that would have passed hate crime legislature that effectively made it a crime for me to say someone, you are a sinner because the Bible tells you so, I would have told them, you're crazy. But it happened this last week. And how long will it be before it happens in the rest of the world? Christians are being murdered and persecuted all around the world. The world is growing darker and darker and darker. Are you ready? Are you in the right place with Jesus? Are you on the right walk with Jesus? Are your eyes upon the Lord? And is your fear the fear of God and not man? The fear of God and not the world? The fear of God and not your job? The reward for humility and the fear of the world is nothing. The reward for arrogance is nothing. But the Bible tells us the reward for humility and the fear of God is riches, honor, and life. Prosperity in many ways. But it has to be the fear of God first. Paul tells Timothy in the second chapter of the second letter to Timothy in verse 21, keep yourself pure. You will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Keep yourself pure. You will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use for every good work. Are you ready, my friend? Or are you like the story of the 10 virgins? 5 virgins brought extra oil for their lamps. And when the bridegroom delayed until midnight, 5 of the 10 virgins had extra oil and refilled their lamps and lit their lights and were ready. But 5 had not brought the extra oil, and their lamps were going out. And they had to leave to go get more oil. And when they got back, the door was closed and the bridegroom said, I don't know you, go away. Are you ready? The church of Laodicea, which is the church of today, was told very plain and clear, you think you're rich. You think you have everything. But you're lukewarm. And because you're neither hot nor cold, I will puke you out of my mouth. Where do you stand, my friend? Are you ready? Is your lamp polished up and full of oil? Or are you like the Church of Laodicea? You feel you have everything and need nothing. You know, the symbolism in the Virgin's story is the lamp represents us. The oil keeps the light, which is the Spirit which is in us. When we don't fear the Lord, and when we take our eyes off Jesus and don't have a personal relationship, my friend, you end up at the point where your light goes out and the world can't tell the difference, and you become lukewarm. And that's my question to you. Where are you? Are you ready? But that day, the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the Son's coming. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would be ready, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. We don't know when Jesus will return, my friends. But we know one thing from the Bible. We must be ready every moment of our lives. Everything you do, you must be ready. When you walk out the door to go to work, your mindset should be working for the Lord and being ready for His return. When you go to bed at night, the last thing you should be ready for is His return. Where do you stand today, my friends? Are you ready? The only way you can be ready is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior and to have a personal relationship with Him. Are you ready? 2 Timothy 2:21. Keep yourself pure. You are a utensil that God can use for His purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and an upright soul." Are you ready for the Lord's return? If He shows up right now, are you ready for His return?
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.